This is a Dragon Blazer production.
Champions of the world,
Boomer
and Blaze.
Hello, podcast world, and welcome to a special and, can I say, spooky edition. Yeah. Of the Boomer and Blaze show. I am
Spooky.
Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
And let me tell you what a week. First of all, can I say I'm excited just because it's October, baby. It is October, my favorite time of the year. Halloween is my favorite holiday. Horror is my favorite. Halloween should be all year long, man. It should.
Everyone's favorite holiday.
Yeah, and how fitting it is that we are doing a listener request for Nick this week, and he happened to request Halloween Havoc 92. How fitting is that?
I feel like it was meticulously planned by Nick.
Like it was, yeah. Yeah, it was a good call, Nick.
Like guess what? It's October time. Let's do Halloween Havoc.
I'm super stoked. Everybody can say what they want about summer, but the end of the year is the best. October, November, December, that's the best part of the year.
I mean, for me, fall, I mean, this is the best time of the year, you know?
Yeah.
You've got Halloween, best holiday. You've got
Blaze's birthday month. You got Blaze's birthday month.
That's coming up. you've got the weather. There's no better weather than fall weather. Nice, chilly, little bit of breeze, not too cold, not too hot. It's the Goldilocks of weather, in my opinion.
It's the Goldilocks of weather.
It's just right.
I like that, yeah.
It's just right, motherfuckers. That's right.
And it's just Halloween to me is just, you know, it started when I was little. I was thinking about this the other day, and the first thing I ever saw that spooked me, what got me into horror, believe it or not, was Michael Jackson's Thriller. I remember being a little kid at my babysitter's watching MTV because I always loved music, and this Michael Jackson video comes on, and I'm like, wait, though, what? Whoa. This isn't really a video. This is like a movie, and it scared me. I'm not gonna lie, it scared me then.
You were a kid, and you were like,
"You're talking about an iconic song."
I kind of like this dancing,
right? Not only that, Vincent Price in it. Creatures crawling, thirst of blood. Come on, man, that's like the greatest thing ever.
Oh, Thriller's awesome.
Thriller is amazing.
I love Thriller,
and that really did start me on the track of watching, you know, Jason and all that. Like, I like the gore. I'm a gore guy.
Oh yeah,
you know,
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite horror icon?
Okay, he's putting me on the spot, and if I have to call it right away, I've always said Freddy, and I'll tell you why. Because everybody has to sleep.
That's true.
That's why Freddy always messed with me.
Is
he my personal like fan fave? No, but movie-wise, character-wise, Freddy, because everybody's got to sleep, dude.
I guess I get that logic, but I meant more like your personal
favorite. Okay, well, my personal favorite's Chucky. Chucky's my personal favorite, so.
Oh, you stole mine.
Hey, look at this.
Chucky. Chucky has always been my favorite. See, I gear more towards Freddy and Chucky because when I have my psychotic serial killer motherfuckers, I want them to tell a quip and a joke before they slaughter the shit out of you.
Exactly.
You know? And I think part of this is because, in fairness, I will agree, Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees.
All great.
They're scarier. They're more frightening because they, like, Michael Myers has no emotion.
Yeah, and you can't kill him.
He just comes after you, you can't kill him.
Doesn't matter.
Jason has very little emotion. The first movie's pretty good, you know. Spoiler for a 40-year-old movie, yeah. But it's not Jason.
No.
It's not Jason in the first one.
No,
so there's a little bit more of a mystery, you know. That's pretty cool. However, I don't get scared very easily. Like, horror movies, it's about fun and enjoyment, which is probably dark and scary for
but I'm the all same of you way, people. Like, the critics won't like a slasher flick. I just need some good death.
Yeah.
Like, the Texas Chainsaw that Netflix just came out with took some hits from the critics. I liked it. You know why? Because that bus scene, when he's slaying everybody, That's good stuff.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you got to see it. The critics, they knocked it because they tried to modernize it and whatever, but the death scenes, that's what I want. It's a slasher. Like, what do you... Yeah, it's a slasher.
Right.
But when I watch Final Destination, I want cool deaths.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one reason I love Freddy. Freddy's got some of the most unique deaths in horror
history. And even the corny ones were cool. You know, a couple of them are cheesy. There's some corny ones.
Oh, I love the third one.
There's the one where he's riding on... He looks like the Wicked Witch of the West. He's winding on the broom, like, outside the window, just like the tornado scene. Like,
I don't care. It's great stuff. It doesn't matter. It's great. Yeah. But, yeah, no... And I think that's what... Deep down, that's the reason why I enjoy those. Because I don't watch horror movie and expect to get scared. So, it's hard for me to prefer, like... Jason and Michael, because I'm enjoying it, sure, but I am not.
But Freddy and Chucky got a style. Freddy and Chucky are funny and sarcastic. Yeah, and fuck with you, like that helps.
There's a reason the Joker is my favorite villain of all time.
Yeah,
he's demented. He's fucked up.
The mental head games.
But the mental head games. He's hilarious. Yeah. You know, in that dark, messed up kind of way.
We got similarities there.
Yeah, no, that's why Joker is my favorite villain, because, you know, I like it when you're evil, you know you're evil, and you just want to tell a joke before you slaughter someone.
Actually, when you listen to Lordy Happen, but tonight Chucky actually comes back on Sci-Fi. The series starts back
up tonight. Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I
mean, he's like, I know. I got
I'll be watching it tonight. It's the best time of the year.
That's why fall is great, too, because you get all your TV back. It's another reason that this is the best time of the year.
And this may be another couple reasons why I love fall. It's best time of the year. Football starts in fall.
Football.
Best sport there is.
See what we're saying?
There's no debate about this. You can message me all you want, but this is just slinging facts.
We're just telling you how it
is. This is America's sport, okay? Sorry, baseball. I like baseball. You're not America's sport anymore. Half the time, nobody watches
you. You're fun the first 25 games of the season, and then it's just...
In the playoffs. I
mean, yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited. The Guardians are going to the playoffs, I'll be trying to watch that. Absolutely.
Sure.
But you're not America's favorite sport.
No.
You know? England, they got football, but we got football, and that's America's sport.
It is.
And so you have that, and I don't know how you feel about this, but give me some Ugg boots. I'm a white girl in fall.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that motherfucking pumpkin spice.
Look at him. He's like, give him to me. He's a minute. The white girl is coming out.
I don't care. That pumpkin spice.
I'm not going to hate.
What do the kids say? That pumpkin spice is fire, man. It's fire.
I won't hate on you for it. You know, it's not my thing. I like pumpkin pie. Pumpkin roll.
I like all of that.
All that stuff.
Pumpkin. So. I'm a pumpkin whore.
Wow.
Just give me all the pumpkin. Spice roll. Pie. I want it all.
Let's stay away from the pie. Okay, let's just leave that alone.
I'm sad I don't have some pumpkin spice creamer right now.
Wow.
I should be drinking some right now.
You should be yelling at your assistant. How do we not have that in the studio?
Yeah, assistant.
What's going on? Jeez, you need to hire some new people.
Let's bring it on. Yeah. That requires some things that I don't currently possess, and that's money to pay an assistant.
Someday.
They don't do it out of the goodness of their heart, unfortunately.
I told you we should do the internship. No one will know.
Internship. Yeah. No, this is legit.
This is legit. Don't you want to, like, refill our coffee when we're broadcasting? Don't you want to see the magic happen?
No, absolutely.
I mean, I'm just saying. We'll give you the email later. You can send resumes.
Yeah. Get our coffee. Do all this editing stuff I don't have to put all this together. Where I'm just talent, baby.
He wants to be like me.
Yeah, right.
So now that we've talked about our love for Halloween and we told you about our special episode this week, but before we get into what's going on current wrestling real quick, we have to touch about something we were a part of last Friday. I'll let Blaze take the lead on this one.
Absolutely. We got invited to International Podcast Day because of my friendship with a Steeler fan.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
He's a pretty cool... He's my favorite Steeler fan.
He's my favorite Steeler fan, too.
Yes.
And which is sad because the mother of my son's a Steeler fan. But
wow. We're getting bad.
But he's my favorite.
It's going to be a fun week.
Woo! It's okay. I'm pretty sure she don't listen to these podcasts.
Probably not. Probably not.
With my luck,
we discussed this.
I'll get a call tomorrow.
We already discussed this. The female audience is—they're just using their girl's Spotify. That's all right, that is. We
yeah, absolutely. This. But yeah, he invited me to International Podcast Day. It was supposed to be three of us. Unfortunately, Drunk Summer was not able to join. She was having her internet was out. She tried to get somewhere.
It wasn't just her because they shuffled everything around. Like there, apparently, several places were having internet trouble.
Yeah, a lot of it's in Florida because of the hurricane.
I was bumming, and I actually informed Blaze like on while we're doing this podcast. I'm like, I'm kind of bummed because I'm a fanboy. I'm not gonna lie. If you have not listened to Drunk Like Me, it's hilarious. I was kind of hoping to meet Drunk Summer. I was kind of bummed, and I had to joke about the fact she was probably passed out somewhere. That's why she didn't. She may hate me already. I don't know, but that's fine. But it was a really good time. It was really cool. I was a little late.
I was I was just about to start it, and then I got a phone call earlier. But I was starting to go through my Drunk Like Me episodes, and I was going to try to make like a clip.
Just something to throw in there, yeah.
Kind of what I do with ours, but I was going to go with more just clips. Yeah. I was going to try to make it like, trying to do trailers here.
Right.
So I was kind of hoping to, because me and Summer, we're trying to get that going back up again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's good stuff. It's hilarious.
She's been busy. She's started a new shift, so things have been difficult, but we want to get Drunk Like Me back up and running.
Again, when we have some money, you know, we can build Dragon Blazer up, and you know we won't have to have real jobs.
Yeah, that's
come on, people.
If we get paid for this, is it really not a real job? I feel like this would be a real job if we got paid for it.
True, but it wouldn't feel like a real job. It would feel like we get to do what we love every day.
Well, the best jobs are ones that don't feel like a real job.
Exactly. But it was definitely a blast. And actually, when I went back and watched, I wasn't really that late. You hadn't been talking that long before I managed to pop in. So.
Yeah, no, we also started early. You also showed up to my house.
Right, because I didn't ask details. I'm like, of course I'm going there.
It's like, I'm here!
So he does a lot of these over Zoom and everything, but like, this podcast is done live here at the studio together. That's so I'm just assuming we're doing it together.
Live at Dragon Blazer Studios.
That's right.
That's what this is for now.
For now. We cannot give that location. It's like the Batcave. I'm sorry. We cannot let you know where we're at.
Yeah, it's a well-kept secret. So we got on there, and a lot of people on there, I guess, were actually doing their podcast.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was trying to have multiple people from multiple podcasts. We were doing like a multiverse of sorts.
Yeah.
And our podcast doesn't really work to try to do a quick 30-minute podcast. That's not how.
It's not a thing.
Although we could have probably got on there and just talked wrestling.
Which we kind of did. I mean, we talked about
the podcast. A little bit. We mostly just.
We talked. We just did what we do.
We essentially just sucked our dick.
It was like what we do here, but we didn't cuss, whether you believe that shit or not. We kept it clean.
Yeah, well, you know, we tried.
We tried. I don't think we cussed. I don't believe so, but.
I feel like a shit or a damn got in there somewhere.
It might have.
But there was no F-bombs.
No F-bombs, nope.
Yeah, I did not say fuck. Nobody said fuck on that podcast.
No fucks were said.
Were said
on that podcast day, so
but this isn't that podcast.
No, it's ours
our
now,
podcast.
So.
And fuck it all.
But it was a good time. I think we did good. I went back and watched it. You know, we couldn't have a podcast, but I think we did well. We described our stuff and all that. And then the other day, I had to send something to my buddy here because we got a shout out on YouTube like last week, I think, or something. I did. I got a shout out a couple days ago, and it was a guy I used to work with, and. Then he sent me a message the other day, and it was a picture, so I opened it up. And so this is a shout-out to Tyler and the kitchen crew at Texas Roadhouse in Ontario because they watched our appearance right there on the line. I'm not saying we encourage you to do that at work, but I don't care. They wanted to do it. I say, hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
And I say thank you to those guys.
Go, Tyler!
Yeah, now, thanks, Tyler. We appreciate
it. I hope that you have the volume down low if you ever do that with this podcast.
Yeah, because it's not going to be like that at all. Like
that one might have been NSFW, not safe for work, but this one... Not so much.
Not so much. No, we're back to normal now. So, but it was a good time. We appreciate the invite. We look forward to future events Hopefully.
We just, you know. We like you, Tyler, and we don't want you to be 86.
Yeah. Okay. Or the whole kitchen. I was going to name like a bunch of names, but I'm not going to do that. We don't Tyler asked for it, so.
We don't want to 86 the staff at Texas Roadhouse.
In Ontario. That's Texas Roadhouse in Ontario. Right. I say that too many times. I don't care. He asked for it. Play it at work. Go ahead. It's fine.
This isn't necessarily squeaky clean.
No, no, no. This is not going
to
be like that.
Unless you're like, maybe if you're listening to it after you close and you're trying to clean up and shit.
Then, yeah, because when I worked there, once we were closed and there was no one in the restaurant, they really didn't care what the hell we were blasting. Once the customers were gone.
It was an awesome picture because I was like, holy shit, there we are.
Yeah.
On a giant big screen TV.
On the line at Texas Roadhouse.
On the line at Texas Roadhouse.
Yes, we were.
So if I go to Texas Roadhouse, will they be like, holy shit, you were the guy on the thing?
Yeah, well, they might because he was like, can you give me a shout out since you're a celebrity now? I'm like, wait a second. Like, thanks, but no, I'm not.
Hey, sure.
Yeah,
just let it go. Just let it.
So now we got Nick, we got Tyler. There's like four people now that like the show and think we're famous.
As someone who's about to show up in WWE, just let me in.
We're
celebrities.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Absolutely. I like that reference. Yeah. We are going to get there. We'll talk about that in a second. Are we done with, is that it for International Podcast Day? Anything else you wanted to?
It was awesome. It was. I put it on all my main podcasts. It's on Drunk Like Me. It's on That Got Dark. It's on Coming Soon to a Podcast Near You. And of course, you can find it on this podcast.
That's right. So anywhere you listen to any of those shows, there it is. You should take a listen.
And if you want to see our ugly mugs, it's on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. And if you watch these on Spotify, they have video, and I have the video on there as well.
Yeah, because that's where I watched. That's where I listened to and watched was on Spotify. Yeah.
That Spotify podcast is the video and the audio all wrapped in nice little bow.
Yeah, so give it a check. It's only, what, like 30 minutes long? 40,
it's about 38 minutes, I believe, is what the clock's at.
So there you go.
Around there.
Check that out. See what you think.
So, yeah. Next.
All right. Well, let's start in AEW real quick.
AEW. And
I forgot to mention this one last week, but I find this funny. Okay, so
I feel like we start with AEW first every time.
I think we do.
It's like
we get that out of the way.
We can talk about, you know, Triple H's WWE.
Exactly. And speaking of that, he's involved in this story. So I'm going to tell you this story. I don't buy this story. I don't believe this. I'll tell you. You can give your opinion. But Bobby Fish asked for his release from AEW, and he was granted it. Bobby Fish was part of the Undisputed Era, the Elite Era, and all that. So he was let go, and immediately you would think, where's he going to go? I mean, if you're leaving, you got to go to WWE. Why else would you leave?
I mean, what do you want to do? Go to Impact?
Guess where he showed up.
Impact?
Impact.
Oh, wow.
Now, Fish claims, this is where I don't believe this, but I don't know Triple H. I'm just saying, Fish's claims are that Triple H was trying to get Bobby Fish, Adam Cole, and Kyle O'Reilly to all come back. Maybe I can see that. But Fish is like saying, Triple H said, if I got him to come with me, he would take me back. Well, no one went with him, and he's saying now that's what happened. Since I couldn't take the other guys, Triple H didn't want me.
Well, last time I checked, Adam Cole was pretty huge. Baby!
Look, he's happy, and I mean, if you were married to Britt Baker and you could hang around her at work, wouldn't you want to stay in AEW too? I'm a huge Britt Baker fan.
I do. I like Britt Baker.
No, Adam Cole and Kyle.
I even have a poster with her. No, I don't.
Yeah,
Bobby
Fish is trying to say there was tampering. I just think, you know, you weren't happy with your booking, whatever. Go to Impact. You could be the world champion. How many people have Access TV? I'm not trying to knock any products. But Impact has never been big except for when it had a real network. And if you don't have a network that everybody has access to, you're just not watched as much. It's just the way it is. Now, a lot of guys like it because you can still wrestle wherever you want. Matt Cardona wrestles in Impact, but he also wrestles wherever he feels like. So, there's some advantage.
That just sounds like a lot of extra work.
Yeah, no, so whatever. So there's a couple of more people that claim to not be happy. One of them is Andrade, who it seems like is leaving, and they've actually booked a match Friday that is Mask versus Career. And it's Andrade against Number 10 from the Dark Order.
The Dark Order, yeah.
And this match, by the way, came out of nowhere. Like, there was a backstage segment, and he just comes up, and he tries to speak English, and he's not that good. And they're just all of a sudden in this match that's Career versus Mask, and I'm like, well, there's not even okay, whatever. So it kind of seems like he may be on his way out. The rumors are Miro is also not happy, formerly Rusev. And no disrespect to either of these two guys, but no matter where you go, you're only one person's on top. Now, do you really think that either one of those guys will go back to WWE and just get pushed right into a title picture right away? Like, you think you're going to go back and the grass is going to be greener this time? I don't think they're any more than a mid-card guy. And that's not knocking their talent.
I don't know. I think
Miro I think, could be AEW World Champion. Miro's not going to beat Roman for the Universal title. I just don't see that.
No, he'd have to wait until after Roman's reign.
I mean, Vince didn't like him that much. And Andrade's incredible. And Vince didn't like him because he couldn't speak English. That's just the way it is. But I don't see Andrade winning the Universal Championship. Maybe the Intercontinental. Maybe the Universal. But here's the thing. What is it really about? Is it about how much you're on TV? Is it about championships? Is it about money?
I don't know. That's
you know,
to
and
them.
That's on them. But the other one that interests me is FTR, who I love. FTR is my favorite tag team anywhere. I love the Usos, don't get me wrong, but I'm old school. FTR is my favorite tag team. Dax Harwood tweeted out, "Hey, Tony, we still work for you. Book us." They have not been on TV in a long time. Now, to be fair, they had to go to Japan to defend their IWGP titles. But here's somebody else. It's like, okay, where are you going to go? Are you going to go back to WWE and become SmackDown champions or Raw champions, maybe? But guess what? Those three tag titles that you hold right now, if you go to WWE, you can't hold any of those because you're not allowed to wrestle anywhere else. They're the AAA champs, the Ring of Honor champs, the IWGP champs. If you go back to WWE, you can't be any of that. You are just WWE.
True, but I think...
I can see their point. I don't know why they haven't been on TV other than they had to go to Japan, but FTR really hasn't been... The tag team wrestling really hasn't been on TV like it used to be.
Well, I feel like in WWE, FTR could be dominant. I mean, it's not the same situation as Roman with the title.
Again, it's just to me, like, I think they could, and I think they'd let him beat the Usos. I could see that, too. But I'd be surprised if they'd want to give up that freedom of the, being able to go to the other places. But then again, if you know you're close to the end of your career, maybe you just want the most money. You know, I guess
also,
that's what it comes down to.
I mean, getting to wrestle in other promotions, I mean, that just sounds like a second job, and who wants that?
Well, it does. But, like, example for FTR, now you can't count the Ring of Honor titles, but they get extra pay because they're IWGP. They get paid from them because they're their champs. They make money from AAA also because they're their champs. It is extra traveling.
But then again,
FTR could be a Cody story. FTR could be like, now we want to go back there and show you that we're the team that could be the top team in that company.
And I have a feeling that despite the fact they're getting paid from three different promotions, WWE, I'm going to guess, pays more.
Tony Khan can say whatever he wants. He's not paying anybody more than WWE is paying people. He might have a few fat contracts. Punk was a big one. But yeah, Tony Khan's not. You're going to make more with WWE. That's just facts. Yeah. I love AEW, but they're not as big. We don't care how much money you have.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're like
your endorsements
Jericho
aren't the
something.
Same. Yeah, I mean, you know, but yeah, it's you're going to make more in WWE. That's another question. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Andrade leaving, I mean, I can see that. I can see him wanting to go back. And he did good. He wasn't unhappy. Vince just, like, didn't want to book him anymore because he couldn't speak proper English. You know. He likes hush money and he doesn't like foreign speakers. I don't know. Like, and that ain't the first time. Like, Del Rio...
You think he turned away women that couldn't speak English?
You know, that's a good question because... Well, it depends. Do they have to do a promo? Are they shooting promos in the bedroom before it happens?
Let's be honest. It's just, man, they might have needed... It's like, I'm going to need a quick promo from you before you suck this cock.
Why didn't you sell that shit? You're going to try that again.
I didn't feel like you wanted this.
Oh, man.
And every time we talk about Vince... If these beautiful women are going with Vince McMahon... I mean, for money, they're going to have to role play.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not even saying that. That's just because Vince is not exactly a young chicken anymore.
Not at all. So, all right. The only other AEW thing is just for those that are watching every week, next week on Dynamite, it's from Cincinnati. And Moxley's defending the title against Hangman Adam Page. So, title match next week. So we'll see what happens there. Now, WWE, we already know what we want to talk about. And the newest update is the White Rabbit will be revealed at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I've heard those rumors as well. I plan on watching it. I'm probably going to get spoiled because I have my kids this weekend. And I'd love to get my kids into wrestling, but yeah. I have not gotten my kids into wrestling.
I tend to like to watch it after it airs, but you have to stay off social media if you're me because I follow all these wrestling pages. You're going to get spoilers.
I know better.
And no matter what happens with this, it's going to be everywhere. But I feel like at this point, I don't know if you were watching AEW when they started teasing Punk right before he came back. And yeah. I know I'm bringing it up again, but AEW got to the point where it had to be CM Punk. Like if CM Punk wouldn't have showed up in Chicago, people probably would have rioted. You know what yeah. I mean? And there's all these other subtle things they're trying to throw in there to steer you away. But if Wyndham Rotunda, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt, does not show up as some form of a character, I think it's going to be really bad. I think you're in too deep that everybody feels this is Bray, that it has to be. Like, it has to be Bray. Can you see it being anybody else and people being like, oh, great, it's not. He actually...
I can't, but at the same time, if it is not Bray, and it's a decoy... Now, I think that you have to have Bray come back.
You have to have
sooner rather than right. later.
If you're going to drag it out, I kind of see where you're going. You could throw a decoy out there.
You could throw a decoy and have it be somebody else and just shock everyone. Now, you might piss off a bunch of people. You're probably... It's almost... 100%. So you're going to piss off a bunch of your fans.
Yeah.
If it's not Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
But I could see a way to keep the shock and then have Bray make a surprise, shocking return when you're not expecting them, like at War Games, Survivor Series. You know,
one of the last teases was one of my favorites because it actually tied into Predator. That was one of the recent ones. And then last week on SmackDown, there was a sign obviously planted in the crowd behind this. Did you see it behind the announcers? Revel in what you are is what it said. Like, that was not a random sign someone made with a marker. You could tell it was a professional, you know.
Yeah.
So that was obviously a clue, too. But, at this point, I don't see how it cannot be. Like, that's going to make people want to watch.
Well, there's also that phone number that people can call and it says, let me in.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everything.
And then one video had the numbers 09-911 and he wore that on his hat one time in the Firefly Funhouse when he was dressed like the magician. It was the numbers from his hat.
Which is why there is a part of me that thinks that this is not going to be, or at least that a decoy is going to be sent out.
Now, because there are some fans.
They're almost making it way too obvious that it's Bray, and it could be to throw you off the
And there scent. Is obvious sense of other people in it, and there are some fans that think maybe it's not just going to be Bray, that it's going to be a whole stable. There's some people that thinks the Firefly Funhouse may be brought... Because when the whole thing started with the White Rabbit, back in Lucha Underground, which I don't know if you ever watched that, it wasn't on that long, but Lucha Underground was another wrestling promotion. It was done a little differently than traditional wrestling, but in that promotion, Karrion Kross wrestled as the White Rabbit. So he was part of the rumor when it first started, but to me, I'm like, that don't make sense because he's already on TV. Why would they have all these things to... But if he ends up being a member of this new group, it would make sense, you know. But I still think the main thing behind it has to be, it's got to be Bray. It's got to be, I mean.
What if they have the reveal and they, like, make a big deal about the reveal, it's not Bray, but then Bray shows up and attacks someone later on in the show?
Technically, they're already doing something interesting because all this says is, you will find out at Extreme Rules who's behind the White Rabbit, but there's no guarantee they'll actually be there. So right there, they're teasing you, saying, yeah, we might show you what it is, but we're not guaranteeing, like, anybody's going to be there. So who knows? They could still keep it going right there. Just saying that, you could just have a masked figure or something. We'll see. We'll see. If anybody's going to physically be there, that better be Bray. If you're going to do something else and keep it going, then just do it the right way. That's all. Don't have any riots. Don't get killed.
Let's start a riot!
And let's see, about the only other thing that I'll throw out there, which I shared on our Facebook page and everything, that DX is reuniting on Raw for their 25th anniversary. How old do you feel? Like, this show's not video, but I wore my DX Army
how
shirt.
How old's your shirt?
That's what I was going to say, too, right? So we already knew you can buy these again right now. They're selling them again, but this is an original. This is from 2008. That makes this vintage, you know? And this is only the second...
Sad that 2008 is now right, vintage.
It's only the second time I've ever wore it. I bought it because I had ringside seats to Monday Night Raw, and DX was going to be there. So it's only been worn twice. Once to Raw, wow. And now here to do this show.
I wear my shirts way more than twice, but...
Well, certain ones, you know, I don't know, I guess... Just a memory, I don't know, you know. It was the last run of DX, and... Yeah, but you can buy them now, but it ain't this one. This isn't the one you get from the shop. I mean, it is, but it's not original.
I do like it.
Yeah, it's pretty slick.
You got the heartbreak for the heartbreak kid with the with the kind of an American flag with Triple H's symbol. That is kind of cool.
And they're cartooned up. Yeah, it's pretty slick. So I wore that for them. That's a little shout out to them. So, all right. We've probably talked forever.
I'll suck it.
I don't care. This is our show. We can do what the fuck we want.
That's right.
And I wanted to talk about how great Halloween was when the show started, so I don't care.
You know the craziest thing is? We love Halloween, and candy's just slightly on the bottom of that list of the reasons we love Halloween.
True.
We love it for the horror, the costumes, the all weather, that other stuff, the weather.
The trees. The trees. Everything. Like when the trees change colors, you know.
Yeah,
that shit. Yeah, and pumpkin spice and our Uggs.
Hey! Don't be making fun of that pumpkin spice.
That pumpkin spice.
Those Ugg boots are comfortable, I think. I don't know. I've never actually owned one.
Let's get Blaze some Ugg boots, folks. Let's see what happens. Let's make that happen.
I don't know if you're going to find Ugg boots that fit my feet, okay? I have rather large feet.
You never know what you may find.
I'm just happy with the pumpkin spice. I'm just saying.
Go pumpkin spice.
Metaphorically, I'd be in some Ugg boots.
Because your white girl came out.
I'm a white girl.
You're a white chick right now.
White girl.
Making my way downtown. Don't you see Terry Crews every time that song comes on now? Because of white chicks? Like, oh my God, it's my favorite song.
Yes.
You know, where am I going? See what happens when this. I don't know what's happening. It's the pumpkin spice.
White girl, pumpkin spice, delicious. All right, are you ready?
I think we're ready.
1992 Halloween Havoc, WCW.
All right, so we decided not to even go to the first match yet because there's so much at the beginning of this. It starts off with some classic 1992 cheesy haunted house graphics that I thought Blaze was a little scared for a minute.
I was terrified.
Those were kind of cheesy, but then it switched to where they were like showing wrestlers' faces and they were appearing in like a smoke cloud. That was kind of cool.
I was terrified because those graphics are better than mine still.
Well, it's 92, but they also had money.
I see.
Yeah, so we got that whole intro with pictures of like Rick Rude and Ron Simmons and so forth. And then the first people we get to see are Tony Schiavone and Bruno Sammartino. Do you know Bruno?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know Bruno Sammartino. Not exactly a huge fan.
No, but you know who he is. Like, everybody.
I know who he is, yeah.
And at this time, this was a big deal because nobody knew he was going to show up in Bruno and had a falling out with Vince. And, you know, he was supposed to be a WWF guy.
Here's the problem. We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't?
We don't talk about
You don't like Bruno?
Bruno? We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno.
You know, you gotta watch who you work with, you know? He gets me every time. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He legit was like, We don't talk about Bruno.
Man, I thought he was going somewhere. He was. He was doing his song and dance, baby. I told you the guy's quick. He gets every fucking time with this. It was good, though. I can't hate. So we're talking about all the matches that we're going to have tonight, including the spin the wheel, make the deal. Can't wait for that.
I did want to talk about the spin the wheel, make a deal match. So it's crazy, and you told me that this is like the only time they do it for reals.
Legit, just spin it.
For reals. How difficult is that for the two wrestlers involved?
And I'm just going to mention that later, like Jake and Sting had no clue.
Yeah,
what kind of match they were going to have.
And normally, let's break a little kayfabe. They practice these matches. Yes,
or at least know what the hell you're going into.
They have an idea of what they're going to do in the matches. Did they have to, like, practice a little bit of all 12 of these matches to know what we're going to do?
You know, my dear Blaze, let me educate you on one thing about WCW. Even when it was successful, it's always been a shit show. They didn't practice shit. This was just, let's see what happens. There was no practicing anything.
Well, then I see why this happened on WCW.
Yeah, and it didn't help. I mean, this is some other backstage stuff, but it didn't help. The guy that was running it at the time didn't even like Jake. Jake got signed by whoever was in charge. They stepped aside. Someone else new stepped in, and the guy didn't even like Jake.
I love Jake the
Snake. I love Jake, too. But anyway,
I like Jake the Snake.
There was no practicing anything. Like, Sting and Jake both said it was just a big shit. It was horrible.
On a lot of these WWE or WWF shows, what we've done, Jake and Ravishing Rick Rude have been some of the highlights.
And they're both on this. They're both on this pay-per-view.
We've got both of them here, so I'm excited. I'm excited about a lot of these. We just went through and we saw Mick Foley as Cactus Jack.
You yelled that out pretty quick. You're like, Cactus Jack.
I was like, holy shit. Mick fucking Foley.
Yeah.
We got Stunning Steve Austin. We get to see a young Jim Ross.
Very young Jim Ross.
Very young Jim Ross.
We got to see now, unless you watched WCW back then, you may not know her, but we got to see 1992 Missy Hyatt. I watched both when I was a kid, and I definitely had a crush on Missy Hyatt. I was definitely.
And she was doing Halloween the way the best people do Halloween.
That's right.
Slutty as shit.
For Rick Rude. That's how you do Halloween.
I forgot another reason why we like Halloween. It gives women an excuse to dress like...
Wow. We'll tell you where to send that email later.
We are supporters.
I don't know if I even want to tip my toes into this pool. I don't know what the fuck.
All I'm saying.
But I get it. No, she was dressed. You know, look, hey.
Provocatively.
If I was a female and I had it, I would definitely dress provocative at Halloween. Yeah. Hell yes, I would. I might be a zombie sexy nurse or something.
I got these tits. I'm showing them off. That's not what I'm saying.
Baby. I don't know what's happening over here. But yeah, we got to see Missy Hyatt. That's what I was saying. And I don't know. And then, like he said, we get Jesse Ventura and a 12-year-old Jim Ross, I think. He's 12. I don't know.
12-year-old Jim Ross.
And there are commentators, and so far, the line of the night, so they're talking about the spin the wheel, make the deal. And Jim Ross says, well, I don't know what Spinner's choice is, but Jake says his giant cobra will be involved.
I bet it will. His giant-ass cobra's coming right over cobra's here.
I thought we were talking about Xavier last week. Wow. Paige isn't on this episode. Why are we talking about giant cobras? What's going on?
Because Sting's about to enjoy one.
Oh my gosh. So we had quite a bit there at the beginning, so we wanted to stop before the match started to discuss all these people we got to see.
Yeah,
we're seeing early WWE.
Steve Austin.
Early WWE stars.
We've been talking a lot about, like, man, I can't wait till we get The Rock. We get Steve Austin. We get Mick Foley, you know. And here we're getting to see him real
Dustin.
Quick in 1992. Yeah.
Dustin Rhodes is on here. Young Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah. Pre-Goldust.
Definitely. Definitely pre-Goldust. So, yeah. Now I think we're ready to...
Now we're ready to watch the match.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm satisfied. I've had my cobra. I'm good.
Oh, man. Okay, so our first match is a 6-man tag team match, and it's Arn Anderson, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Bobby Eaton versus Z-Man, Shane Douglas, and Johnny fucking Gunn.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of WCW when I was a kid, so my knowledge of wrestlers normally comes from them coming to WWE F or E. And I only knew two people in the ring for this one. I knew Bobby Hayes, or no, Michael Hayes, obviously, and I knew Arn Anderson. Yeah. If you watch wrestling and don't know Arn Anderson, yeah. I mean,
if you know Ric Flair at all, then you would have to know Arn. You would think. I mean, Long Ranger Tonto, Peanut Butter and Jelly, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson. I'm just saying, and but a lot of these guys, like, this, by the way, shouldn't shock you, this was Johnny Gunn's only WCW pay-per-view. I watched both of these when I was a kid, and I had no idea. I know everyone in this match except Johnny Gunn. Anybody that listens that was an ECW fan would know Shane Douglas. He was in WWE for a very short time, but he made his name in ECW.
I think I do recognize
Dean Douglas
Shane.
In WWE. He was the franchise, Shane Douglas. When he was ECW, okay. he was way bigger. The franchise.
Okay, maybe I do. So you probably remember, kind of
know him, yeah.
But I didn't recognize him from this.
Right. The rest of them, Johnny Gunn, like I said, this was his only appearance. Z-Man wasn't around that long. He didn't really do. Apparently, he was one of the people that thought he should get paid Sting money. And they were like, you're not Sting.
Your fucking name
you're
is
fucking Z-Man.
Z-Man.
You're lucky Z-Man. We pay you at all.
Come up with a better name.
So, obviously, we're watching now. Remember, this is 1992, and it's WCW, so it's old school. You know, it's more about the wrestling, not a lot of flash and dash. But we did get some entrance music, which, you know, and we got replays. And I wasn't sure. Replays. I remember some of these matches, but I wasn't sure if we'd have replays. But there were a few cool spots, like... And it's funny to watch that. I told Blaze, like, we go back this far. It's funny because the announcers, they're doing stuff we see, like, all the time now. But you didn't see it back then, and sometimes they don't even know what to call it.
I don't know. That the one thing you were talking about that they didn't know what to call was a head scissors takedown.
Yeah.
And they said it was kind of like a leg takedown something like that.
Jesse Ventura was like, it's kind of like a leg arm drag. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? They don't know what to call it, you know.
But
like there's a Sua Karana. I don't know what that.
Now we may see head scissor takedowns nowadays, but it's not frequent.
No,
and that one was pretty nice.
I mean, it was.
He had some flair to it while he did that head scissors,
and he didn't do it in this match. But you know, I was telling you, like Bobby Eaton's finisher was called the Alabama Slam, and it was a leg drop from the top rope, and guys weren't doing that.
I'm not sure how that
back then
name makes sense.
It doesn't, but he was from Alabama.
Alabama
so
Slam,
the Alabama Jam. My fault. It was called the Alabama Jam.
Okay.
Jam, I can get behind.
And it was a leg drop off the top. Slam is a pretty well-known thing in wrestling, and nothing about a leg drop is a slam.
It's just like that leg arm drawing head scissor thingy they
did.
And then something you pointed out, which I found fascinating in this match, too, is like they were into the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
They were loving some Arn and some Michael Hayes.
Back in these days, normally you didn't hear people cheer for the heels, but...
No.
They were cheering for those heels.
Two things were Michael P.S. Hayes was a ladies' man, even though we probably look at him like, I don't know why, but the ladies loved him. And
No, I can kind of see it here.
You know, it's the long hair, the hairy chest.
Long, flowy locks.
He's
everything.
The rock star. And then this point, we're also at the point Ric Flair's not here. Ric Flair's went to WWF, right? So just from the fact that Flair's not there anymore, the Horsemen are broke up, and Arn's like the only thing that's left. So the Horsemen fans have just become even more attached to Arn, you know, with Flair gone.
That's
so
fair.
That's part of it, too. But, yeah, there's some good moves.
And I give you this. Michael Hayes was pretty, like, charismatic in that
very.
Ring.
Michael Hayes was... Look, his wrestling didn't have to be the best because of the things he did. And we saw some old school, like, he looked at the ref and he jerked his tights, trying to say that, yeah, hey, he pulled my tights. And
I thought he was pretty...
He does do good.
I guess I get it.
Yeah.
You're charismatic. You got the long, flowing locks. I can see ladies, man.
Exactly, because he believes it, and he sells it, and that's...
He is confident in his abilities.
But what's funny is, you know, Blaze really knew him, though, from being Doc Hendricks in WWE, because for some reason when Vince got him, he didn't want him to wrestle. He was like, you can't, you're a free bird, and everybody will know you're a free bird, and I don't want a free bird, and so...
Yeah, no, I think that might have been the first time I've seen him wrestle.
Yeah.
I know him as a commentator more.
Yeah. But there was a spot, like, where... Beautiful Bobby Eaton comes in. Arn's tied up with Shane Douglas, and the ref's not looking. So Bobby Eaton comes in, and he clipped out Shane Douglas' leg, and the crowd went nuts again. Like, they were like, yeah, heels.
Way to cheat, guys. Good job.
But I'm like, I'm looking at Blaze. I'm like, well, the thing is, let's look at who they're fighting. They may be faces, but nobody knows who the... Shane Douglas is like 12 years old in this match. Nobody knows who the fuck these good guys are other than the Z-Man. And then we can talk about this finish with Mr. Johnny Gunn. This is probably why the man got fired. The finish of this match is why Johnny Gunn got fired. We're going to talk about this fucking Lou Thesz press.
Is that what it was? It was the Lou Thesz press.
It looked more like an Xavier Woods press to me. I don't know. But
On page.
Or Vince, we need some hush money after the finish of this match. Woo. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, he does the Lou Thesz press, which is a move.
It is, and Austin used to do it all the time.
Austin do it all the time.
The problem was...
is he was pinning him, he stayed on top, and kept on getting that thrust in.
Yeah, he never... he never got in, like, it's going to say weird, like, oh, he was laid out not in the doggy position, but when you lose that stress, your knees are supposed to be up. He laid down.
Well, that wasn't a doggy.
No, exactly. He laid down completely flat. There was definitely some tips going on, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, there was a lightsaber fight for sure.
Pew, pew, pew.
And like you pointed out, he's thrusting.
He's thrusting.
What would the refs count?
That poor guy underneath is like, just count the three, get this over with. I'm out.
This is new WWE, but I bet Vince called him and was like, fire him after this show. I don't care. He had to have gotten this his only pay-per-view appearance.
When
like,
Vince looks at this and thinks, that's inappropriate. You know there's a problem.
But I'll tell you, it wasn't a bad match, and I kind of like it a little more just because the crowd was into the heels. Like, I was digging the cheering for all the dirty stuff. I know I'm not a heel, but it was cool to see back then. And they beat a bunch of no-names.
And the good guys were, well, one of them was really into this match.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Gunn was really, really, he was shooting that gun.
He was cocking that gun right there.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Pew, pew! Michael Hayes might want to go get a pregnancy test after that pin.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder if he was... I know it's only 92. I was going to say, I wonder if he was playing Genuine in his head. Like, you're my pony next to you. He was... Wow.
Like, riding that pony.
We got to rate this.
Do we?
It's the thing we do.
This wasn't a bad match.
It wasn't. It was the ending. We just kind of...
I'm going to give it three thrusts.
Right.
Ha!
Well, we didn't get to see one in this match, but I'm going to give it 2.5 spine busters. I was hoping we'd get to see an arm spine, but instead we got to see a gun thrust.
Yeah, we did. Woo! Captain ready.
Boy, I can't wait to see the next finisher. Needless to say, that was a money shot there.
I just hope Nick isn't like, what?
Nick!
I invite you to watch this, and you're just talking about the thrusting. We want to talk about wrestling, sir.
Oh, it is a wrestling podcast. I forgot. Yeah. So did Mr. Gunn there. We've totally gotten off course.
Luckily, after that homoeroticism, we have...
Yeah, some, by the way, we're paused for the next segment. Here's Missy Hyatt on the screen.
That's
just
right, in her lovely...
Like, Blaze is like, hold on, I gotta pause this in about 30 seconds. Wait a second.
Well, you know, a lot of the women in wrestling was just to remind you that you're not gay for watching these half-naked men wrestling.
No, because look at me. Like, if you're Rick Rude, why are you waiting? Why hasn't Rick Rude already been out? I would have been out, like... The first time she showed up, knocking on the door, like, yes, Missy, how can I help
you? Yes, ma'am.
Now that we're done, come on in the locker room. Show you why I'm ravishing. We're getting off course.
Right.
Let's go to the next match. All right, so, wow. I mean, our next match, we get Flying Brian Pillman in the Bengals trunks.
Hell yeah. Hooday.
I mean, those of you that don't know, Brian Pillman did actually play for the Bengals before he was a wrestler.
I did.
I knew you did, but, you know, maybe some of the listeners. So, yeah, he had the old school. And he took on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And I knew right away, like, I didn't have any doubt this was going to be a good match when you have these two guys. And it was a good match, yeah. I mean, it blows away Johnny Gunn for sure.
Johnny Gunn was hoping someone would blow him away.
Wow. Well, it was definitely better than the first match, that's for sure. And, right off the bat, man, the chops. I say this a lot on this show, but those chops were brutal from both those guys. Look, a chop, that's the only way a chop's effective. If anybody's ever saying your chops are shit, it's because you can't hear them, man. If they're not loud like that, the chest ain't red. And those sounded like they hurt.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, I don't want to take one.
My heart can't take no chops.
Can't take no chops.
can't take no chops.
Oh, real quick before I forget this, I don't know how I did, but before the match, we got a little bit more of Missy backstage trying to get into Rick Rude's dressing room.
Yeah, we did.
We told you we were paused in there. And Harley Race shows up, and she asks him if she can get in the locker room, and he tells her no, and Missy's like, well, that's the first time that I haven't been invited into a locker room. I bet it is. Because, I mean, I didn't mind her in.
I don't understand how Harley said no. Yeah. I know he's supposed to be acting, but you know he was fighting every urge.
Oh, he had to have been. And then she tried to just sneak in, and some arm came out and pushed her out, but it definitely was not Rick Rude's arm. in that locker room.
It was an arm and a little low.
Well, I mean, where would you have been? He was going for the clamshells. That's all.
Yeah, well, he was.
So we got that. But anyway, back to the match. The chops were good. The selling was good. Like, so this is old school. Ricky Steamboat picked apart and worked on it. He was working on the arm, and Brian Pillman was selling it like a champ.
Like a champ.
And we saw another one of those, whatever Jesse, what did Jesse call it? The arm drag twist head scissor flop. Saw another one of those.
That was a great head
from Brian Pillman was really, he's gone too soon, that's for sure. Brian Pillman was very talented. He took a lot of crap because he goes crazy later. We'll get to that when we're in NWA. You know, he loses his mind a little and he gets a little. But there was another spot where Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was coming up at the top to do a move and Brian Pillman drop kicked him and he was coming off. And again, you see this all the time now. This is 92 when you didn't see this kind of stuff. Brian Pillman was actually one of the first high flyers I can remember seeing when I was a kid, really. Until later on when WCW gets the cruiserweights and Ray and all those guys start coming in, then you see even more crazy stuff. But that was a good spot right there. I was trying to see what else. Oh, the spot too where he did the old classic. He took Ricky's head and just dragged it over the top rope, like choked him real quick over the top. Like, I don't know, Brian Pillman is just so good. But the ending again... Did he go to the Johnny Gunn School of Pins? Like, what happened here?
It
started with a beautiful...
It wasn't as bad.
It wasn't as bad, but it started with a beautiful sunset flip off the top by Steamboat into a pin. Pillman reversed the pin.
And goes head first into those balls.
Right into the balls. Right, like, I feel like we need to give these guys some space and some room time. Like, this pay-per-view is getting a little... Are we sure this is Halloween Havoc? Did we look up the wrong one? Are you on the right website? But yeah, so Pillman and then Steamboat reversed it again, but it was just kind of awkward the way he tried to get just his ass
turned him around,
like the balls flipped his chin. I don't know. Like, do you know how your cat backs up to you sometimes?
And then I was noticing while we were watching, we had Walmart Bill Murray as the referee.
He said they went to Wish.
Yeah, they went to Wish.
So then I proceed to say, well, yeah, the WCW refs all look like porn stars or pedophiles.
It's sad that those are the two options.
And I'm pretty sure the pedophile did the gun match. So maybe we'll have something happen. Yeah, they might get together afterwards. You know, wow. Well, we've run listener requests. That'll never happen again. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. We'll still take them, but you may not want them. Look, it was a good match. I really like this match. I'm an old school fan. I'm okay with the finish. He just had a little mistake. So I'm going to give this match three sunset flips.
Three sunset flips. I thought it was a little better than that. I thought it was about 3.5... I've got nothing.
3.5, I've got nothing.
I've got nothing.
He's got nothing.
But 3.5, I thought it was a little better than 3.
Johnny Gunn pins.
I mean, I gave a 3 to the last match, so this one was definitely better.
We both went up, yeah, because I did a 2.5.
I don't know if it was quite in the 4 territory. I debated on 4.
Yeah.
But despite the fact that I thought they pulled off a good match, I don't think it was, like, over the top really good.
Not extract.
It was just a good, solid match.
Old school match, yeah.
Yeah, no, this was anything better than that WrestleMania show we watched.
Oh, yeah. Anything without Bob Backlund's good in my book.
That's true.
He was never in WCW. You're safe.
Yeah.
He was never there. So, you're good to go.
Oh, thank God. It's nice.
For 1 week, anyway.
Well, I, if nothing else, you may be hating all the all the comments we're making, but Nick, thank you for giving me a break
from Mr. Backlund.
Bob Backlund for president. Okay, I appreciate the break.
The break, here. Yeah, we needed a break from Mr. Backlund. So,
I think Backlund needed a break from Backlund. Probably. So let's go to the next match. And as of right now, we have a pause, and I see Teddy Long!
Teddy Long! It's a tag team match, player! Tonight you will face the Undertaker!
Player!
Player! Young Teddy Long.
Teddy Long. He looks like he should be in Harlem Heat.
And he was never with him, go figure that.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Alright.
Alright. Okay, so as Blaze mentioned there, we saw Teddy Long in the picture, and he's backstage interviewing Masahiro Chono, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but he's head of the Japan Wrestling. Anyway, Chono is the NWA International Champion, which is now what the Big Gold is known as, because Ric Flair left with the Big Gold, and when he did, WCW made their own world title. When they got the belt back, they wanted to use it again, so now it's the NWA International title. Maso's the champion, and Kensuke Sasaki's going to be his referee. Maso Chono, actually, if we ever get to WCW pay-per-views, he was around for a while. He ended up in the NWO later on, so he was in WCW quite a bit. After that, we get this big long... This is old-school wrestling, so we get... Bill Watts is out there, and he's telling us that Harley Race is going to be a special ref in the title match, and then he goes on to talk about this U.S. match. Rick Rude was supposed to defend the U.S. title and wrestle in the NWA championship match. Well, he got his lawyers because he wasn't happy. This is good old-school wrestling here. He goes on to explain that thanks to Rick Rude's injunction by his lawyers, he is allowed to get a pitch hitter. He said it that way, too. A pitch hitter to defend his United States title against Nikita Koloff.
Actually, I love this. This is a great heel move. You sue them. You bring in Big Van Vader.
Big Van Vader to be your pitch hitter.
To be your pitch hitter.
To defend the U.S. title in a no DQ match.
And yeah, the crazy thing, it was a title match.
It was a title match, yeah, and a no DQ title match. And he's like, listen, I can't wrestle both these matches. I gotta win this title later. I gotta face Masahiro Chono. So.
I'm surprised they don't do this story more often, to be honest with you.
They don't use stuff like that anymore.
That's great.
As cheesy as it may sound, it's a brilliant storyline. And it's, like you said, it makes you even more of a heel because you're like, listen, my lawyer says I can have someone else defend my title. And if you're gonna have someone else do it, why not Vader?
Yeah,
maybe my favorite big guy of all time. Like, I was a huge Vader fan. And you didn't get to see a lot of it in this match, man. But he would do moonsaults off the top. Like, Vader was...
No, I like yeah. Vader. I do like Vader. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I'd consider him my favorite big guy of all time. But I do like Vader.
Yeah, Vader is very impressive. And that's what I liked in this. I mean, even all his shots... Look legit. Before the match started, Ole Anderson, who is the kayfabe brother of Arn, is the commissioner, or whatever they call him back then, and he told Harley Race and Rick Rude to get out. They weren't allowed at ringside, which is kind of funny, too, because, again, it's a no DQ match. So can you really tell them they can't be out there? But I think they're both like, really, it's Vader. We don't need to be out here.
It's Vader.
It wasn't a bad match. There was a lot of powerful moves. I was kind of disappointed that no one really took advantage of the no DQ, except for the chair shot with the padded side of the chair.
Yeah, the padded side of the chair.
I mean, he did do that spot. Vader did a spot where he lifted Nikita up when they were outside and just dropped his throat right over the barrier. And we have the old school barriers here. And by the way, no floor mats.
Yeah.
No one has taken it. So Bill Watts has taken over at this point. He's an old school promoter. And he comes in and he gets rid of floor mats. Also, it's illegal to throw someone over the top rope in WCW right now.
It's a weird...
Yeah, Nikita got away with the clothesline invader over the top because it was a no DQ. But even stranger, and it hasn't happened yet because Ricky Steamboat did a move off the top rope, but eventually Bill Watts bans moves from the top rope too.
Wow.
You can only go from the middle rope.
Why?
Very old school, and he thought it would work, and it made stuff fucking... I remember as a kid, I thought, man, this is stupid. Why the hell would you do?
Those are some stupid rules.
Yeah. But anyway, not a bad match. Nikita had a pretty bad... So Nikita did like this set-down suplex because he couldn't get Vader up. Like, he literally sat down and then flipped Vader over. But, I mean, he is a big guy.
Vader is a massive man. 450 pounds.
He did pull off a body slam on him, though. Nikita did get a body slam. So, I mean, give him credit for that. But it wasn't a bad match. It was what it was, but I just, like, I'm kind of partial because I like Vader, and his shots look good. They were outside, and Vader was against the post outside, and Nikita went to clothesline him, and Vader moved, and dude, he hit that. We were both like,
yeah,
damn, because he was going fast.
His arm looked
it like legit hit pain. That post, like, at full speed. There was no way he faked
hitting that fight,
and he was going fast, too. Back then, they called his clothesline the Russian Sickle, because he's the Russian. He's from Kentucky or something. I don't know. He's mad. But so he was going for that Russian Sickle, and Vader just moved, and he ate that post, and it didn't want to look fun. And again, I'm not trying to shit on the pay-per-view or WCW, but Vader won with a powerbomb that was a little awkward. I don't know what's happening tonight.
We've seen much more awkward paper or power bombs lately.
Oh, we have. The jackknives lately have been horrible. That one wasn't that bad. It's just he didn't pick them up right all the way. Did you see his ass went in the face? That's what did it. I mean, I don't know what's going on in this pay-per-view.
Really,
but
the only weird thing about the power bomb is his arm.
The way he landed. First. Yeah, his elbow hit before.
But maybe that was by design, since if you're telling a story, do the power bomb on the arm that he just got done hurting through the by missing that clothesline.
I don't know about you, but there were a couple spots in this, watching this with different eyes now because I'm a grown fan. There were a few spots in here like I think these two didn't like each other.
Oh, yeah?
There were a couple interactions I just saw where it looked like they might have been. And if the Invader was pinning him, I was kind of joking. I was like, he's in his ear, like, don't get up, bitch. Match is over. A few of the spots that even looked odd. Like I said, I watched this stuff different now. It kind of looked like they were being real a few times, and they might not have liked
each
other.
Maybe that's why the power bomb was on the arm first. Yeah. Like,
look, I heard that some people, I never heard anybody say Vader wasn't a good guy, okay? But I did hear some people say they didn't like, kind of like some people don't like to work with Brock because the shit hurts.
Sure.
Some people just didn't like working with Vader because the shit hurt. Like, his working punches were not friendly.
Well, you know? It's kind of like, not that we like him so much these days, but CM Punk used to say he hated working with Ryback because Ryback was very stiff.
Yeah.
He wasn't and a very good wrestler.
That's the word that was slipping my tongue as much as I'm a wrestling fan. Yeah. Some people said Vader was stiff, and if he didn't like you, he could be even stiffer. But what the fuck are you going to do? You know what I mean?
I feel like we've had enough stiffness.
It was like the stories of Andre Bagwell. But there's been a lot of stiffness in this show. Back in the day, it's like the stories you heard of Andre. Like, Andre ran shit because he was so big. And if Andre didn't like you, it could be all bad. You know, could you imagine Andre not liking you?
Yeah, no.
Wouldn't be good.
That's kind of scary. Any of those big guys being like, yeah, I don't like you very much.
Watch this. So another not bad match. Nothing to write home about. It was good. It was cool to see Vader, and there were some powerful hits and blows, and the shoulder shot was pretty intense. So not bad. I feel like I'm getting stuck on the same rankings all night because nothing's blown me away, but nothing's been horrible.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm going to stick with what I've been doing. I'm going to give this 3 Russian sickles to the post.
Oh damn it! That's what I was going to do.
Oh, I stole that shit. Damn you, man.
I'm going to go with 3 arm-first power bombs.
Ouch. It looked a little... The elbow hit, it looked a little painful.
Yeah.
Blaze is over here like, who the fuck's Mikita Koloff? But if you didn't, to be fair, if you didn't watch WCW, you wouldn't know him. And he was real popular in the early 90s, but he was at the end of his career, if that makes sense. So at the height of his career, it was actually the end of his career, and he never went to WWE or anything, so...
Yeah,
it was. You wouldn't know him.
But it wasn't a bad match, no.
He was much better as a heel, though. They were trying to make him a baby face. He was so much better as a heel because he would just come out and, you know, beat people up.
Really. Fair enough.
So, but yeah, not bad. So far, decent pay-per-view.
No, it hasn't been a bad pay-per-view.
Except for the funny.
We might just be...
I see nothing wrong. Oh.
With well, the a little bump and grind.
Actually, that's wrong. R. Kelly proved it. There is something wrong with
there's
a little bump. There's a lot wrong with that little bump and grind. But.
R. Kelly likes some other things, too.
Listen, folks, this isn't us. Go back and watch this pay-per-view, and you'll be singing these songs along with us, too.
All I'm saying is that not the only thing that came out of his, you know, woohoo dilly.
Woohoo dilly? Wow.
I wanted to be a little cleaner this time.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Nick.
I believe Dave Chappelle sang a song about it.
I do too.
Pete, Pete, give me some wee.
We've totally lost ourselves on this show.
About the song about pissing.
There was. Wow. I don't even know what to say to that.
Huh?
Some good singing. I said, I don't even know what to say to that except for good singing. No one's ever going to listen to us again, but we appreciate everybody for sticking around.
We're canceled.
We're canceled. Damn, we're canceling ourselves. Karen doesn't even have to do it.
Canceled.
We're just making it entertaining, folks. It's fine. I don't know what's with us tonight, but it's okay.
Is it really taboo to make fun of R. Kelly?
No, not at all.
I think
it's not soon enough. We're fine.
We're uncanceled. We're fine.
We're uncanceled. Yeah, fuck R. Kelly.
Fuck R. Kelly.
Yeah.
You piss on a 16-year-old girl, fuck R. Kelly.
You know, made a few home videos with some underages, whatever. Fuck R. Kelly.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, we can do what we want.
All right, let's go to the next match.
All right, real quick, and I don't normally do this, but before we cover the next match, we got some breaking news I just got while we were sitting here doing the podcast. There's been another fight that broke out at AEW backstage before tonight's Dynamite, which is their 30th anniversary show. Andrade El Idolo and Sammy Guevara apparently had an exchange of words. There were punches thrown, and looks like they both got sent home for tonight. So we'll address it more the next week, but I just thought I'd share that since it just broke. And this was not part of a story. This was not just part of a storyline. Like, they got into a physical.
Things are going crazy in AEW.
Tony Khan losing control a little bit, I'm just saying.
A little bit.
So anyway, before the next match, we got a commercial for the next pay-per-view, which was Battle Bowl. And then we get the Unified Tag Team Championship match. Now, originally this match was supposed to be Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes against the Steiner Brothers. But Rick tore a pectoral muscle in Japan, so then they replaced him with Dr. Death Steve Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy. And for whatever reason, Terry Bam Bam Gordy was like, fuck it, I'm not doing this. He legit just did not show up.
Really?
Yeah. And like, real life, just decided not to show up.
Well, soon. Here's the plus side of that is, because he didn't show up, were we not going to get Stunning Steve Austin had this not happen?
We wouldn't have got him in this match. That's for we wouldn't have got him on the pay-per-view at all. So, yeah, we got Stunning. I was a little disappointed, though, because Dr. Death and Terry were so good together. But this wasn't a bad match, but I'll say first right off the bat, it was too long.
It was long. Yeah. We know how long it was. It was a 30-minute time limit.
So, but it really was legit the first time that Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Austin teamed up, and they actually did well as a tag team. The longer the match went, they were doing the isolation, the classic isolating their opponent. Dustin and Barry had the quick tags in and out. You know, there were a couple spots, though. You know, I don't know what is going on, if all these guys, like, had Love Potion number 9 before this pay-per-view or what, but there was a little part where Austin was trying to pull the tights when he had
That was awkward.
He was digging for gold.
Yeah, he was like, it's like, where is it? Let me just tickle the balls.
Let me tickle the balls. What would I find up here? So that was a little, awkward moment. Early on in the match, like, I guess I forgot to mention, Jesse Ventura is gold, by the way. I love him on commentary, and
he's always been good at commentary. Yeah,
Barry Windham had his hand wrapped up from a quote-unquote injury, and I heard Jesse mention, he was like, well, that hand's not injured anymore. He's paying the doctor off to keep the tape on his hand. He's a cheater, you know, just the classic trying to throw it the other way. But it was a good match. It was a decent match. It got a little long, and then, of course, towards the end, it just all hell started to break loose.
It gets a little crazy at the end.
It got a lot crazy. At the end of the match, I'm trying to remember here, I got some stuff wrote down. It got out of control when Dustin got his ass beat for a good amount of time. Probably the last 15 minutes or so of the match, I'm guessing.
So did Barry Windham earlier. Doing a lot of the isolation, keeping them away.
And I kind of like the way they were working together, because Austin was doing the more of the wrestling moves, and then Dr. Death would just come in and beat the shit out of him for a few minutes, you know, and wear that ass out. But towards the end, Dustin finally gets a hot tag to Barry, and the ref doesn't see it, so the ref's distracted, and while he's not looking, they double-team Dustin. They throw him over the top, which is a disqualification. Next thing you know, the fucking ref's over the top. Everybody's just flying out of the ring like it's a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But then another ref came in and actually counted a pin. And the other team should have won, but the first ref came in and was like, fuck that shit.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He pinned the wrong man.
He did pin the wrong man.
And the referee should have been able to know that.
Well, to be fair, he kind of flew out there at the last minute.
He just watched a pin, but it was Stunning Steve Austin and Dustin Rhodes that were the legal men, and I believe they pinned,
He pinned the wrong guy. There was a spot where Dustin tried to do his dad's little, you know, elbow, jiggle and flop thing, but that got cut off by Austin, you know. Overall, as far as tag team, I mean, it shouldn't have been so long.
It was a good match. I liked it.
I don't even mind the chaotic. I don't even mind the chaotic breakdown at the end for the time limit. I'm okay with that.
I'm not sure I love the time limit thing, but other than that, I thought it was a good match. I do want to just bring up a quick segment here. We're going to call this Blaze's Heel 101.
Oh.
And
we're about to go to school, folks.
Stunning Steve Austin. You know, I know you become a big thing, and you're way bigger than I'll ever be, obviously, because you become Stone Cold. However, Heel 101, if you're going to try to cheat, and you're going to try to grab the rope, make sure it's not right in front of the fucking ref.
Legit.
Pay attention to your surroundings, Stunning Stone Cold, or Stunning Steve Austin.
Whichever one you are.
Yeah, Stunning Stone, I don't know.
Stunning Stone
Cold. Stunning Steve Austin, you gotta pay attention to your surroundings.
Someone go find Johnny Gunn real quick.
You wait till the ref is not looking straight at you.
Look, Blaze got really... like,
let me grab that rope.
He got really offended because he didn't even try to hide this shit.
That is not good heel work. That is not good heel work. Normally, I try to defend you guys. That's my job. That's what I do. That's
not good.
But you can't do it in front of the ref. I can't fight for you if you don't fight for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Austin. Come on, man.
He's teaching you lessons. You guys should be writing shit down.
That's right. Like in the past.
Do it, right? So, I mean, you know, it was what it was. Like I said, just a little long. But to be fair, they probably didn't know what they were going to do because, like I said, originally it was supposed to be the Steiners, and then Terry Gordy was like, I'm not, fuck you guys, I don't want to do it.
I don't know, this was, for me, this was great just to see Stunning Steve.
Young Steve Austin, and young Dustin.
Before he becomes Stone Cold with that nice blonde lock.
Well, not only that, you mentioned how different his style was, which is
true.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah, his style was way different.
Way more of a mat wrestler.
No, yeah, when he becomes Stone Cold, he becomes more of a brawler.
Yep.
He does that Luthes press. Yep.
No mud hole stomping in this, you know, he's not doing that.
I've seen wrestlers with gimmick changes many times, and traditionally they might throw a couple new moves into their repertoire, but traditionally, you still see, like, moves that they've been doing for years, and it's just added on. You normally add on new moves.
Yeah.
Stunning Steve Austin seemed like an entirely different wrestler than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
For sure.
Yeah. There was really nothing that felt the same.
No.
My only real complaint is we didn't get to see the stun gun.
Yeah, the stun gun was nice.
I was looking forward to seeing the stun gun.
We didn't get to see Dustin's bulldog, which back then he did a really good, especially as tall as he is.
That was a good bulldog.
To be able to pull off those running bulldogs like that.
Yeah, it was a good bulldog. But
there was only a few parts, like I'm way too OCD, because there was one part where Dustin was in like a Boston Crab or something, and he was almost in his corner, and he's like wrenching in pain, and I'm like, dude, they could tag right now. They're both like 6 foot tall. Barry just reached out like the
just reach it out.
Just reach it out. So actually, I mean, you know me too. I'm a fan of tag team wrestling. So other than it being too long, it was a good match. I didn't even mind all the out of control shit at the end. It kind of made it entertaining. It was a good ending. I wondered what they were going
to
do.
Oh man, this is getting to be a little bit of a slog too. All of a sudden
it's out of control.
All kinds of crazy going on.
Fuck yeah,
here.
You didn't really know what was going on at the end. So
no, I liked the end. I liked the end. I guess I would have just liked a little bit cut out, but honestly, I'm giving this 3.5 learn your heel.
Learn your heel. 3.5 learn your fucking deal, buddy. I'm gonna be with you, and I'm gonna give it a 3.5 stun guns since we didn't get to see one.
Honestly, I think this would have been a 4 if it wasn't from how long it was.
Yeah, I think if they could have shortened it and then did a DQ or whatever, threw it out because of all the insane.
Although I don't hate a long match if. And they kept most of it interesting. There were a few sleepers, a couple slugs.
You know, arm bars, a couple of spots where they had to take some breaths. But for a last minute match, they did a good job.
No, I liked it. Sure. It was a good tag team match. Went down to the wire. I would have, like we said on the was it the last pay per view where they had a time limit. It was during King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And they did the time limit where he had the 1-2 and then the time went
right
out.
Yep.
They didn't do anything remotely. Like, there was a pin, but it was like 7 seconds left.
Yeah, you were like...
So, it was not like a last minute. They didn't time it well or anything like that. So, I wish the ending had a little bit more exciting. If you're going to do the time limit, you could have done it...
A little more exciting.
A little more exciting. It wasn't. It would have been nice, like, somebody does a finisher and then...
Then the one, two, psh, kick.
Even if you do the finisher and it's just, there's no time to get the pin, they didn't do anything like that. He tried to do a pin, 7 seconds left, and there was a little bit of scrambling, and then game over.
Yeah, then you just knew, like, nothing was going to happen. But overall, pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Although
some old-school tag wrestling.
I guess it makes sense not to have the tag team that you literally just put together because somebody didn't show up.
Right, because somebody's like, fuck this shit.
Give them the title, but...
I don't want to... People didn't like... It's a whole other story. That'd be a whole other podcast if it were getting the WCW days because people didn't like Bill Watts that we've seen on screen several times. He was a lot of the problem.
So, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Okay, so before the next match, we get an interview with Vader, Harley Race, and Paul E. Dangerously, the future Paul Heyman. And he's bragging about how his plan worked, Vader kept the title, and he's the greatest thing in the world. I mean, even this young, this is like before ECW, Paul Heyman's still gold.
Oh my
even
gosh.
And Medusa comes out, and man, it just goes sexist from there, doesn't it?
Goes sexist from there. But hey, you know what? It was great. Paul E. Dangerously.
That's what he is here. Yeah.
Is saying he's like, you're a woman. I'm a man. I'm better.
You do what I say.
And it's like full on misogyny. Loved it. It was great.
It was
and then he
stuff.
Got his ass beat by Medusa.
He did. And before the beating, he used the line of the night was. I don't remember it exactly, but he said the first hooker that he picked... The only reason you're here is because the first hooker I picked was busy.
Yeah, it was... You're racy.
And then he slapped her. But let me tell you what, Medusa whooped that ass.
Whooped that ass.
And they were tearing him apart, like trying to break him apart.
I loved it, and it had all of Paul Heyman, or Paul E. Dangerously's gumption. I mean, he's just fantastic on the mic.
Called her a bitch. They didn't blur it out, you know.
Well,
I'm surprised.
That was after,
you go Peacock. You didn't believe her, blur that out.
That was after she beat his ass. Like,
yeah.
You bitch, I'll take care of you with one hand behind my back.
Yeah, he was talking all sorts of smack. But by the way, this was also Paulie was gone after this too, by the way.
Oh, really?
This was his last appearance in WCW, and then not long after that we get ECW that comes out of there. That was a great segment, and after that, boy, Sting came out to spin the wheel, and man, that wheel was intense, wasn't it?
So intense.
I'm not quite sure what kind of skull that was lit up on top.
I liked the skull.
It was kind of cool. It kind of looked like an alligator, or I don't know, but so the wheel rises up from the stage, it's got a lit up skull on top of it, and the wheel looks like a saw blade with all these weapons on it.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
You know, it wasn't bad, especially because it's 92. And they have, like, this lever that I guess Sting, you know, he has to pull this lever to spin the wheel. It wasn't hooked up yet. You see the stagehand come out and take the cord. Like, I got to plug this in. One second here. And that's
sorry,
where...
Sorry, boss. I forgot.
We don't know what we're doing. And that's where we find out that that match will be a coal miner's glove match. Then we go to the NWA title match.
It was about a 20-something minute match.
It was 20 minutes too fucking long.
And 10 of it was fucking sleeper holds.
Sleeper.
Submissions.
Sleeper. They let both these guys choose their own refs, and Rude chose Harley Race, and then they coin flipped to see who got to be in the ring, and it was Harley Race. There were no shenanigans.
Yeah, I was expecting more shenanigans with the whole ref thing, but...
And we both agree, huge Rick Rude fans. Huge Rick Rude fans, but this was not a good...
This is boring.
This was... I was bored.
It was just slow and it was so boring that the audience starts seeing something in the distance. And
yeah.
I'm guessing somebody fighting or...
But they were cheering that and not even looking at the
Yeah, they were cheering that and watching. And the whole time, and I understand why they weren't watching, the whole time Rick Rude had the sleeper hold.
Yeah, and there was a point when I was trying to find... I couldn't find out. I tried to research and find out what happened in the crowd. But there was a point in the match when they were chanting someone's name, but I couldn't figure out who, and I swore it sounded like they were saying, "We want Flair." And I looked it up, and that is. They were cheering, "We want Flair" during this match, and Flair is not even in the damn company right now. That's how good this shit's going. Like, the crowd was quiet.
The crowd was not into this until somebody was fighting
in the
distance,
crowd,
apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was bad. It was boring. The best thing about the match, I guess, was Rick Rude's tights.
Yeah.
Because he had the Halloween, he's still doing the custom rude tights. He had the Halloween tights. And then Kensuke Sasaki, who was the other ref, he came in and whooped everybody's ass afterwards.
And that was the most exciting part of the match.
He should have been in the ring instead of Chono.
The special ref beat the shit out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like this. I like Rude, but this was bad. This was bad. You can't even score off. What are you going to score off the 20 fucking sleeper holds that we saw in this thing?
It was boring. The sad thing is it was just boring.
It was very boring.
I don't even know if it was bad. It was just boring.
It was just boring, and Rude couldn't save it. And it wasn't bad, but to me, a boring match makes it a bad match. Like, the wrestling, per se, wasn't bad.
Boring.
But boring and too many holds, that's...
Boring's worse than bad.
Yeah, I would have rather watched a shitty match we could have made fun of.
Yeah, exactly. This is just...
It wasn't shitty, it was hit, sleeper, hit. I'm trying to do an STFU.
The best part was the last 5 minutes, we got a Rude Awakening. So yeah,
we did get a Rude Awakening.
We did get that, and then Rude got thrown over the top rope, and... That's the only somewhat shenanigans, because Chono gets the STF, and the
his referee says it was a tap.
You know, well, they don't tap back. Well, yeah, there was a lot he of submitted,
yeah, because they were just tapping like, I'm in pain. I found that funny, too, that the only thing they were arguing about was not whether Rude lost or not, but they're saying it was a DQ. He didn't quit. It was a DQ.
Yeah, no, there was... Yeah, Harley Race said that it was a disqualification because for some stupid ass reason,
Bill Watts error, man.
There's disqualification for throwing someone over the top rope.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
No mats on the floor either, which we forgot to mention. But that might be why it's a, I guess that's why he made it illegal. Like, you can't do that.
You can't throw them over the top. There's no mats.
Yeah. So definitely not my favorite match of the night, that's for sure. You know what? Only because it's Rude, I'm going to give it 2. Thank God this fucking match is over. But I'll give it a 2 just because Rude's in it and I got to see a Rude Awakening. It's the only reason.
I give it 1 crowd fight.
Yeah, he's like,
because that was the most exciting part of
it. Yeah, so if there's nothing on the internet, I'm assuming it was just somebody in the crowd that was probably fighting over it. It was probably the one Masahiro Chono fan that was out there like, fucking Rude. By the way, during the match, I loved it like... Rude was talking trash, and Jim Ross is like, well, I don't know any good because he don't speak English. And Jesse's like, Rude's from Minnesota. We all know how to speak Japanese.
We're all bilingual.
We're all bilingual. We all know Japanese. We're all from Minnesota. I don't know, but thank goodness that this match is over. Let's hope that the world title match. Again, this is all because Flair left and the belt left, so they have 2 champions technically. But the next match is for the WCW. World titles. So.
All right.
So before our next match, they're talking about the controversial ending to that boring ass NWA title match. We didn't really need to bring that back up. and then they proceed to talk about the world title match, which is going to be the Barbarian against the world heavyweight champion Ron Simmons, and they show a video of him training, and Cactus Jack breaks a fucking cinder block. On the Barbarian's back, I'm sure it wasn't rigged. I'm sure that was legit.
Sure.
That made it look scary, right?
I mean, it was a cool segment.
Yeah, it was. And this, so then they come out. Barbarian comes out with Cactus Jack. We would have much rather had Cactus Jack in this match instead of a manager, but, whatever.
Absolutely. I wish it was.
Ron comes out and he has Teddy Long and, 15 security guards for...
Yeah, I know. I was confused. I'm like, is Ron Simmons the face?
Right. Because the only time you've really seen that with the face is Goldberg, but they always said those security guards were to protect other people from Goldberg or whatever. They always had some kind of excuse. So that was kind of weird. This was what it was. Look, nobody cared 2 fucks about the Barbarian fighting for the WCW title. Like, nobody cared. It was...
I didn't care.
So quiet.
I didn't really care for the Barbarian and WWE.
Yeah, and it's just weird because he hadn't been here that long either. They just brought him in and they're like, boom, you get a title shot. Like, I don't know. Whatever. It wasn't as bad as the last match. It wasn't as boring as the last match, but it was just what it was. Like,
there
was
a small area where there was a long sleeper hold.
We did get some more sleepers.
But it was kind of cool. Ron Simmons kept slamming them up against each corner till he broke it. So, it had a cool It wasn't long enough where it was a problem.
No, it was a shorter match, one of the shorter matches of the night. But the spot, man, where they... So Ron Simmons is down and the Barbarian wants to go for his headbutt. And I'm like, why is he going to the top rope? Yeah. There's no way. He's like 3 miles away from Ron fucking just rolling.
Yeah, Simmons like, had to literally like
crawl to the like, right spot.
Let like, me roll over. Let me roll over.
We're not talking about a little adjustment either. We're talking like halfway across the damn ring. It was priceless.
I'm yeah, telling you. It was really weird.
So, I mean, like the crowd was really into it when he came out, but once the match started, no, they didn't care.
They were pretty excited when he won.
Yeah, they were. And it was cool because he kind of got it out of nowhere. It looked like he was going to be down for the count. He just took a boot to the back of his head and stuff. And then just out of nowhere, he nails this power slam and it's mercifully over.
I did, however, hate the announcer saying Ron Simmons' name. It's like, Ron Simmons!
Simmons!
I mean, come on. Ron Simmons! I don't know. Maybe that is the best way. It sounded weird.
Yeah, it did. And like I was sharing with Blaze, though, Ron Simmons, a lot of you probably already know, was the first black champion in professional wrestling. Recognized, there's records of, like, other, but whatever. The first official black champion in wrestling was Ron Simmons. It was fine. The funny thing is...
Now, is that world champion or just
world,
champion?
World champion. Let me clarify
so
that.
So he's not
world
the first,
champion.
Like...
Not the first champion, period. No. First world champion. My bad. Thank you for correcting me. So, I don't know. This wasn't even as bad as the NWA match, and I feel like I'm going to give it a lower ranking. It just... It was there, and it's whatever.
I think I gave the NWA match way lower.
Yeah.
I will be giving it a little higher.
A little higher.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't bad. It was there.
I mean, most of it was just a disappointment that we got Barbarian instead of Cactus Jack. Yeah. Like, you were so close.
So close. He was
Cactus
right there
Jack,
on the
you
outside.
Were on the tip.
And then I wasn't totally upset with it until the sleeper, and I thought, oh, here we go again. Let's not do 20 minutes of sleeper holds. Nobody wants to see
No,
that.
But there was only the
There
one,
was only one spot, so I can know,
one,
I'm okay
and,
with that.
And the way he broke it was cool.
Yeah, they had to catch their breath, so I can live with it. So, yeah, I'm going to give this match two... Tomahawk chops
for the seminal chops
for, you know, Blaze is like, what is this, a fucking football game? What are they doing? But Ron Simmons went to college there and he's a Seminole. He's even got a tomahawk on his tights, you know, so yeah, I'll give it two tomahawk chops.
I'm giving it two bing bing, because even though he wasn't in the match, he was there.
And he was there.
He's old. It's Mick Foley, man. I love Mick Foley.
Me too. And the Cactus Jack stuff. He had some good stuff as Cactus Jack. But unfortunately, we didn't get to see that on this show.
As a horror fan, Mankind's obviously my favorite. Although, this isn't very horror, but I love the Sacco!
Right. Well, as much as Mick Foley has said he didn't like it, I liked Dude Love too. I dug the Dude Love thing. And when he teamed with Austin, I mean, that was good stuff. Not as good as Rock and Sock, but you know. I liked the Dude Love thing.
I like the Rock and Sock connection.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, so we are down to our last match. The unsanctioned, lights out, spin the wheel, make the deal, coal miner's glove match.
Sad fact is the coal miner's daughter just passed away.
That's true. And
so was that today or yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday, and it's yesterday. Even sadder because I thought she'd already passed. But to be fair, she was 90, so I mean, it's like...
Damn.
We were talking about earlier, this, by the way, is Jake the Snake's only pay-per-view appearance for WCW. He's gone not long after this at all, so...
Oh, wow. All right, well, let's check it out.
See what it does.
I'm excited to see Sting.
All right, so before our main event, we get Tony and Bruno talking about Ron Simmons' big match, and then Eric Watts comes out, who's the son of Bill Watts, who's the boss now. He was a horrible wrestler. And he talks a little bit, Ron comes out and talks some more, and then we get our main event, the coal miner's glove match. And as soon as Jake started coming out, I heard this music. I'm like, wait a second. He came out to the Hollywood Blondes music. So this music Jake moved used once because he's done after this ended up becoming the music for.
They're like, this is good. Let's give it to someone else.
That's not the first time I've heard, like, you know, WCW's just like, what music do we got laying around? We're gonna give it to these guys. So Jake comes out and then Sting comes out and we get our match. And it's not. I thought from everything I remember and all the talk you hear about this, this was a crap. It wasn't a bad match.
No, it wasn't terrible.
I mean, it wasn't over the top, like, exhilarating, but it wasn't bad. And there was some good storytelling in there with Sting working on Jake's arm. And Jake was selling it good to where you're like, there's no way he's going to climb the pole.
You know?
He can't make it up. The first thing, of course, I had to say with myself is, what the fuck? You don't even got to get the glove. Like, what's the incentive to climb that fucking pole when I could just knock the guy out and pin him in the match pick over with? The best part, though, was the glove. It was a fucking, like, a welder's glove with chains taped to it.
Well, as shitty of a concept this match is, I was telling you while we were watching the match, is this is, when you do these kind of matches, it's a Chekhov gun situation. If you show a weapon that is on a pole,
yeah,
somebody needs to use that weapon. And otherwise, what's the fucking point of exactly. this match?
And it got used. It ended up getting used.
It did get used.
We get towards the end of the match, and all of a sudden, we get Cactus again. He can't wrestle, but he's coming out again. And he comes out, and he brings out a glove and a bag to Jake, and there's a cobra in it. And Sting ends up climbing the pole while all this is going on, and he gets the glove, So Jake goes to turn around, Sting hits him with the glove, and the fucking snake just grabs onto Jake. Jake gets bit by his cobra.
Now, I've heard of people trying to put their cobra on their face, but this was a whole new situation.
I think the best part is, like, how dedicated or crazy do you have to be that, like, the snake was on there for a second and then let go, and Jake literally put the fucker back on his face and is like, bite me, bitch. You gotta sell this shit.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
And for those of you who don't know, and I think it's probably been at some point brought up before in this podcast, but Jake didn't even like fucking snakes. Like, how do you have to get stuck with the one gimmick thing?
He was afraid of him.
Yeah, he was afraid of him and still was Jake the Snake all those years and then let him bite him. And this wasn't the first time. He's just told the story about when him and Macho were feuding. You remember that famous snake bite?
Yeah.
And Macho Man told Jake he had to do it first to prove the snake wasn't venomous. So before he did that whole thing with Randy Savage, Jake had to let the snake bite his leg. So it's not the first time he's bit by snakes, so kudos to him. You know?
Right.
So not a bad match. It was entertaining. Sting. You know, Sting's a good wrestler. Jake's a good wrestler, too. But this match wasn't so crappy that Jake shouldn't be there anymore. It was just a Bill Watts thing. Bill Watts didn't like Jake. And he didn't hire Jake, so he kind of got stuck with Jake when he took over. End of his career. His WCW career.
I like Jake a lot, but he just looks like everybody's drunk uncle.
He does. He looked a little, you could tell he was starting to get out of shape, and he definitely didn't look in the best condition.
That's out of sure. shape, there's that hairstyle, there's the balding on the top. I mean, drunk uncle.
Yeah. And this was after, of course, he lost to Taker. He ended up going to WCW. There for a while, I thought the streak was just like a way to get fired. Because, like, he beat Bundy and Bundy disappeared. He beat Superfly. Superfly disappeared. He beat Snake and Jake the Snake disappeared. I thought, man, if you take the Taker on and lose at Mania, you're fucking out the door.
Well, that's not true later.
No, it's not later. But it just seemed like that. Seemed for a minute there, like, ooh, that's not going to be So,
oh, man, I'm salivating over those matches.
Oh,
like,
we're getting so
Taker
close to
gets some great matches as he goes.
Once he gets past Giant Gonzalez and King Kong Bundy and Kama and the rough ones. Kama's got the chain. But anyway, we're on WCW. What are we? We're getting
curious who we get next to WrestleMania.
It's Kama.
Oh, fuck it.
Yeah, it's Kama.
Nobody wants Kama.
I'm pretty sure he's the WrestleMania opponent. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. But
damn.
We'll see.
So we got to wait another year for a good match.
We got to wait for the Attitude Era when we get some good wrestlers around.
I say that, but, I mean, Godfather was decent. So, I mean, it's just he's got a different name.
Character makes all the difference, though.
True.
Dolph Ziggler was in the fucking Spirit Squad.
<Not
wait. laughs> He was a male cheerleader and he's arrived that shit. So
it's been so long since Spirit Squad.
We gotta bring Quang up again.
Like, I'm excited to see
Savio Vega wasn't any better, but yeah.
I'm excited to see Spirit Squad and see young Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler. And the other guy that stuck around a while after that was Kenny Dykstra. He stuck around a little after the
Spirit
Squad.
Dykstra was really good.
Yeah,
he was, like, I thought he was gonna be the Dolph Ziggler. I thought Which he was for a short while.
For a while, it didn't last.
And then
for a minute, he was. Yeah, and the rest of them just disappeared.
Yeah, I don't remember any of the other
ones. But this was definitely better than the last two matches, so it's good they made it the main event. I mean, it was better than the Simmons match. I think it was definitely better than the NWA title match.
Yeah, but I don't think it was the best match of the...
No, no.
Which we'll get to that.
Which we are about to get to that. So I'm going to give this... I mean, I like the storytelling and everything, you know. I don't know. I'm going to give it 3 coal miner's gloves. I'm cheating out. I'm just copping out on that one.
I think I'm going to agree. I'm going to go with 3. Learn how to play with your snake.
Learn what to do with your cobra. What are you doing, Jake? That's right. Jake?
You need better cobra handling.
And then they were really trying to sell it, too, because after you could hear the crowd like yell things like, somebody get an ambulance. They're not even playing his music. They're really trying to sell the shit out of it. Like, oh, no, poor Jake. He fell on Cactus Jack when he was leaving. Yeah. He was, like, crawling down the aisle with his snake.
All I could think of is that poor snake.
The poor snake. No snakes were hurt in the making of this. I don't think.
Are you sure?
Really, Earthquake like, killed a snake once on TV, remember?
He kept falling with the snake in his hand.
He did. Like, Blaze really was like, that poor snake. Fuck Jake. That poor snake.
Yeah, fuck Jake.
Fuck Jake. All right, well, looks like we got some matches to talk about now, huh? Let's start with the best.
Favorite match of the night.
Okay, so for me, best match of the night, I actually had to think about this a little bit. And I didn't think I was going back and forth between the tag match and Steamboat and Pillman. Believe it or not, the tag match was way too long. And then I'm like, I don't know. So I'm going with the tag team title match. It was a little long, and it was a draw, but overall, as far as the entertainment, the wrestling value, that was my favorite match of the night.
You went with the tag match?
Yeah, I did. Believe it or not.
After all the complaining we did
about the length of it, I still went with it. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't bad. I'm going to go with the Steamboat and Brian Pillman match, though. I thought that one was a little better.
It was a little bit. It was a good match. I know I complained about all that, but, you know, I'm a tag team fan, and it was good tag team wrestling. So, I mean.
That's fair.
You know.
All right.
On to the next.
All right.
Worst match of the night.
All right, well, I could be wrong, but I think we'll probably agree on this. We'll see. Worst match of the night was Rude and Masahiro Chono. Pants down. Worst match of the night. And it disappoints me because I love Rude so much.
Yeah, it was boring. And boring is worse than bad.
It is, yeah. I mean,
it was boring. It was way legit. Too many
like I was,
moves.
You looked like you were half asleep, and I'm sitting over here like, is this shit ever gonna? Is this gonna end? Yeah, that was horrible. Like we didn't need that.
No, it was rough. It was absolutely rough. It was definitely the worst match of the night. We definitely agree.
Easy enough.
Easy peasy.
Easy enough. We made it through, and of course, I know we have a few unfinished business, but I just want to say, Nick, I hope we didn't ruin this for you. Thank you for the request.
Thank you for the request.
We will take a mini time. It was good timing with it being October and Halloween season's here, so.
Thank you for listening. I mean,
yes, thank you for listening.
I mean, clearly he's been with us almost since the beginning.
Yeah, I listened to those other episodes that you know he had requested, and yeah, it's good because that means he was around and waiting on us to come back.
Yeah,
and he's even okay with the 2.0 version. We're like NXT 4.0, or whatever.
Well, isn't that like the rainbow one or whatever it is?
That was 2.0 was the rainbow, and it's gone. Triple H got rid of that shit. Back to the black
thank
and gold.
God. Thank God.
Yeah. But, so let's, we thank Nick. Let's plug some pluggables.
Well, you can find me on the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Nope, not Twitter yet. The TikTok. And the YouTubes at Dragon Blazer Productions. You can find me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro.
And of course, we got the Boomer and Blaze Show Facebook page. And you can find the show on Twitter and Instagram at Boomer_Blaze. And if you want to email us to send us hate mail or requests or anything else, you can reach us at BoomerAndBlazeShow@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Next week we get back on track, so we will have In Your House 2. We'll be coming at you next week. We get back on our regular schedule. Yep. And thank you again, Nick. And I hope everyone enjoyed this evening. And stay spooky out there. It's October. It's the best month. We'll see you next week. Good. Oh.
Hey.
I was about to say goodnight before I said
sign off. You better.
I didn't sign off. I'm going to get fired.
I'm going to do an interview and find somebody else that likes wrestling.
Yeah, I'm going to get kicked out. I might get a chair shot.
No, then I'll have to do more work. So you're in. You're
by
back.
Golly, this has been.
You're back.
This has been the Boomer and Blaze Show. I'm Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
Good night.
What if you didn't understand what he saw?
Then you better figure it out, because it was coming for you.
We don't talk about Bruno, no, no, no. We don't talk about Bruno. But it was my wedding day.
It was our wedding day.
We were getting ready and there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
No clouds allowed in the sky.
Bruno walks in with a mischievous grin.
Down the
road. You're telling the story, or am I?
I'm sorry, mi vida, go wrong.
Bruno says it looks like rain.
Why did he tell us?
In doing so, he floods my brain.
I will like the umbrella.
Married in a hurricane.
What a joyous day, but anyway.
We don't talk about Bruno.
No, 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 no.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Hey, brutal live in fear. Bruno stuttering or stumbling. I can always hear him sort of muttering and mumbling. I associate him with the sound of falling sand. With the grip so humbling, always like a brother in the family, fumbling, grappling with prophecies they couldn't understand. Do you understand?
Sevenfold frame rests along his back when he calls your name. It all fades to black. Yeah, he sees your dreams. His song screams. We don't talk about Bruno.
She would die the next day.
Yeah. No, no.
He told me I'd grow a ghost. And just like he said that all my hair would disappear. Now look at my hair.
Your fate is sealed when your prophecy is read.
He told me that the life of my dreams would be promised and someday be mine. He told me that my power would grow like the grapes that thrive on the vine.
Oye, María, no son his way.
He told me that the man of my dreams would be just out of reach.
He told to another.
It's like I hear him.
Hey, sis, I want not a sound out of you.
I can hear him now.
Yeah, about that Bruno. I really need to know about Bruno. Give me the truth and the whole